I'm Wade Keller, editor and publisher of the Pro Wrestling Torch newsletter and former host here at PW Torch Livecast. If you're looking for my shows, they have moved as of July 2017. They're now called the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, available through Podcast One. Enter Wade Keller on your podcast app or iTunes and subscribe to the new Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, where I cover Raw and my first show of the week, SmackDown with my second show of the week, and then the Flagship Edition with a co-host, and we cover a broad array of pro wrestling current events, and then I end the week with a weekly interview. That's the Wade Keller Pro Wrestling Podcast, now at Podcast One. Subscribe today. Just search Wade Keller.
Blog Talk Radio.
Wrestling exhibition requires discretionary viewer participation.
Indeed it does. From the Polyester Pleasure Palace on the shores of Lake Washington, or as close as I can get in my price range, it is Jim Valley. The show, Wrestling Road Stories. When the beer was cold, the rats were hot, people believed it was real, and we sold out everywhere. Airware! It's the show that 4 out of 5 trailer parks approve of. Ask for it by name. Wrestling Road Stories. Each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. 5 o'clock Eastern, 2 o'clock my time, all around the world. At pwtorchlivecast.com, where you can download it anytime for free, or download it commercial free if you're a VIP member. Going to go to pwtorch/govip, sign up and become a VIP member. It's relatively inexpensive, and you can listen to me commercial free each and every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast. And we are here live. What? He's actually here? Again? Unbelievable. Yes. That's the kind of commitment I have to you. To be live half of the month of October. Just to be here with you. But no, I think I'll be live for a little while anyway. Until I work myself to death. Follow me on the Twitter. I am on Twitter. So please follow me there. At Jim Valley. That is a little at sign, J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. You can also add me on Facebook, but as always, just to make sure, a lot of times if we have the same number, same type of friends, like you have Wade or Bruce or somebody as your friend or Pat, you know, then I'll know, you know, that where you found me, and that'll be cool, and I'll add you, no problem, on Facebook. But if by chance we don't have the same number, same type of friends or whatever, send me a message so I know that you're not a webcam girl. And chances, if you listen to this show, you would be a very ugly webcam girl. Nobody wants to see that business. Anyway, but yeah, it seems like every week now on Facebook, you always see, it's the webcam girls. It's like it's 2017. Don't we know that trick already? I don't know. People still try to do it. So add me on Facebook. Don't be a webcam girl. Add me on Twitter at Jim Valley, J-I-M-V-A-L-L-E-Y. Why? Because I like you. Hey, speaking of working myself to death, I don't know if you saw the news. I hope you did. It was very exciting. I have added yet another show to my repertoire. I am now the host, co-host. I think I'm the host. I don't know. Either way, I am now doing what is called Cauliflower Alley Radio, We've talked about the Cauliflower Alley Club before. I'm a member. It's the oldest and largest nonprofit fraternal organization in the world of professional wrestling. It goes back to the days of Lou Thesz and Red Bastine and Mike Mazurki. And it goes back to the days when it was a closed organization. It's an organization for wrestlers and boxers and Hollywood actors, actresses, actors. I think you just say actor now for everybody. That covers everyone, I think. Male and female. Don't assume gender, Jim. Anyway, Cauliflower Alley is an organization that is near to dear my heart because I love the history of wrestling. And I also love the work that they do. The money raised goes toward helping out wrestlers in need who are down on their luck. A lot of times, retired wrestlers, you know, something happens and, you know, they didn't, you know, make all the money that they could have or should have. And, you know, for example, they got a ramp, an elevated ramp for Kamala to help him get into his, to help him get into a van. You know, as you know, Kamala had to have both of his legs amputated from the knee down, and you know, he's confined to a wheelchair, and the Cauliflower Alley Club helped him to get a lift to help him get into his van. So that's something that Cauliflower Alley did. Last year at the banquet, this past year, Brian Blair, the president of the CAC, announced that they helped Paul Orndorff. He was in risk of losing his home, and they helped him out with some funds so he can stay in his home. So things like that, that they can help some retired wrestlers who are down on their luck. So they do things like that. Another one they did, Frenchie Martin was infirmed right before he passed away. And his religious beliefs were that if he was cremated, that he wouldn't go into heaven. I believe that's what it was. Either way, so they made sure and they paid for a proper burial based on his religious beliefs. So it eased his pain during his last days. So things like that that they do to help out retired wrestlers. You can go to CauliflowerAlleyClub.org and you can sign up and become a member. It's pretty cheap. It's only like $25 a year or like $300 and some for a lifetime membership. So sign up there. Again, it's a great club to be part of. And every year they do a reunion in Las Vegas. Right now it's at the Gold Coast in Las Vegas, which is right by the Rio Hotel, right near the Palm. And they do that every year, and they have seminars, and I host some of the seminars there. At least I did last year, and I hopefully will again this year. I've been told I will. Hopefully I will. That would be great. If not, no biggie, but hopefully I will. But so that's what the Cauliflower Alley does. And so now soon, along with another gentleman, we'll be hosting the new Cauliflower Alley Club Radio, which is a podcast that they do once a month. And they talk about, you know, wrestling history. They talk about what's happening with the club. We'll interview people. And it's a worthwhile organization. And I'll let you know when I'll be doing that and when that's going to start. But I just found out about it yesterday. So that's very exciting. Hopefully you saw the tweets from Cauliflower Alley, or you saw it on my Twitter or my Facebook. But I'm very excited. So go to follow it. You can follow it on Twitter at CAC Wrestling and or at CAC Reunion. And but be sure to follow it on Twitter. You can find it on Facebook at Cauliflower Alley Club. If you're not a member, you should at least follow them just to follow it, so you know what they're doing. Again, it's a large part of wrestling history. I mean, it goes back, like I said, to Lou Thesz and founder Mike Mazurki and Nick Bockwinkel and Red Bastine and, you know, so many others that would go out there every year. You know, still there's a lot of great old legends that go out, like the Intelligent Destroyer, the Intelligent Sensational Destroyer, Dick Beyer still goes every year, and that's awesome. Pepper Martin goes out there. Akio Sato, Nick Bockwinkel did right until he passed. Jim Ross, Gene Okerlund, Greg Gagne, Sam Houston, a lot of different people. Bill Apter, a lot of different people go out there. So it's in Las Vegas. It's every spring in Las Vegas, usually not long after WrestleMania. So there's a date on it. I don't have it in front of me. I'll check when we take a break. Also, I have another podcast that I'm doing with wrestling historian and journalist Fumi Saito. And he hates me to say this, but it's true. He is the number one wrestling journalist in Japan. And in my opinion, I think he's the number one wrestling journalist in the world. He's written books. He's done a lot of stuff, which is not to say Wade's a slouch. Tremendous. It's a high bar to clear. And even Wade, you know, Fumi's a little bit older. Wade might defer to Fumi. Who knows? But there's, I don't mean anything by it. I'm just saying that's how great I think Fumi is. But anyway, we do a podcast where we talk about Japanese wrestling of the day and kind of give you kind of a rundown, and then also talk about Japanese history, answer your questions. It's called the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast because I'm here in Seattle. He's in Tokyo. That covers the Pacific Rim. So it's I like to say it's from Tokyo to Seattle and all points throughout history. So this week, we're going to talk about the Antonio Inoki show that Antonio Inoki just did at Sumo Hall, where Antonio Inoki, and I guess this is a Buddhist thing because Antonio Inoki is a Buddhist, but he held a memorial show for himself, and Antonio Inoki is still alive. So that's interesting. The Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. So that's how that works. I'm going to try that real quick. I don't care. Hey, David, are you there? Okay, I can hear you. I don't know if we can hear you on the show or not. I don't know enough to know if you're on or not. There used to be a thing that there was used to be a Skype button on this interface thing, and I don't know where it is. I don't know. Did they take it down? I don't know what happened. I don't know what they did, David, and it's making me angry. That's true. That's true. You wouldn't like me when I'm angry. Nice pull on the Incredible Hulk. So I don't know if they can hear you or not. So I can't tell you whether or not they can hear you. I could just be talking to myself right now on the podcast and no one would know. What happened to this? Where did the Skype? I hate Skype. I don't hate Skype. I hate Blog Talk. Blog Talk sucks so bad. I hate it and I hate it and I hate it. Yeah, there used to be, what you call it? There used to be a thing that for Skype, maybe it's just for the host to call in on Skype. I don't know. Yeah, go ahead and just call in on the phone and I'll get you on there just to make sure because I don't know. All right, man. Talk to you later. I don't know if you heard that or not. Sorry about that. I don't know if you heard. Was I just talking to myself? I don't know. Anyway, David Anderson from the WCW Retrospect Podcast. We're going to talk wrestling video games coming up in just a few minutes because I have spent my time playing a lot of wrestling video games. I've played a ton of them, and I want to talk about it because I love them a lot. Matter of fact, I've got a WrestleFest in my house. That's how badass I am. And I have a Matt Mania Challenge in my house as well, so that's pretty cool. But anyway, let me get back real quick before I get David on the show here. The Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. You can find it on iTunes. Search Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling, and it'll come up. It's also on Podbean, and you can follow me on Twitter at Jim Valley. You put the link there. I put the link on my Facebook as well. So give it a listen. I mean, you probably watch, if you're like me, and I wouldn't wish that on anyone, but if you're like me, you watch a lot of wrestling, and sometimes you just don't have all of the time to watch all of the wrestling. So this is an easy hour. It goes by pretty quickly. We cover all of the stories in Japan, and then all the big stories, all the big stuff in Japan. And then we will do some history as well. So it's a nice way to stay up with Japan. It's a nice way to kind of smarten yourself up on Japan, on the culture and how it pertains to professional wrestling. So Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast, if you could check that out, that would be great. Fumi is a genius. He's really great. So this week we're going to talk about the Antonio Inoki Memorial Show. And then we're also going to talk not only about the Antonio Inoki Memorial Show, we're going to talk about Joe Doering winning the Triple Crown title for All Japan. Fumi was at both shows. We'll run those down. And then we're also going to talk about the Observer Hall of Fame and the Japanese candidates for the Observer Hall of Fame. So that's the plan this week. Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. And it'll either drop Friday morning or Saturday morning, depending. But it'll drop sometime this weekend in the next couple of days. But check it out. It's on iTunes, so it'll load onto any of your podcast apps. And if not, you can download it on Podbean. And it's, again, Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling Podcast. So I've got a lot of stuff going on. Wrestling video games. I have played probably pretty close to all of them, a lot of wrestling video games. I haven't played like the micro wrestling, or if it's not like going to be like a real wrestling simulation or a facsimile of a wrestling simulation, I haven't played it, but I've played a lot of them. And we'll talk about the history of wrestling video games, some of our favorites, and so you can call up if you want to dial in and talk about those. We'll do that next. It's Jim Valley. It's Wrestling Road Stories, and we're going to talk about one of my favorite topics, wrestling video games, coming up next.
We know you're a pro wrestling fan, but you might like MMA too, and if so, check out our sister site, MMATorch.com, with live fight event coverage, including UFC pay-per-views, previews of all UFC and Bellator events, the daily news digest, exclusive columns, flashbacks, and much more. Check it out. If you're a fan of MMA, you'll be a fan of MMATorch.com.
And we're back. Wrestling Road Stories. Jim Valley here each and every Wednesday on the PW Torch livecast, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific. You can also download it at pwtorchlivecast.com and download it commercial-free if and only if you are a PW Torch VIP member. You can sign up and go to pwtorch.com/govip. So it occurred to me the other day that I have played a lot of wrestling video games. I've wasted or spent, okay, wasted, a lot of money on wrestling video games. I go way back to the very beginning of all the wrestling video games. So anyway, I was listening to a podcast a couple of weeks ago. It's called WCW Retrospect, and one of the hosts, they were talking about wrestling video games. They're talking about the WCW ones, which got me thinking about all the wrestling video games that I have liked and played. So I wanted to invite one of the hosts on the show. He's a friend of mine, and he's a PW Torch VIP listener, and he hosts WCW Retrospect. Welcome, David Anderson. David, what's going on, man?
Hey, Jim. How are you? Thanks for the invite. That's quite an intro, so I hope I can live up to your lofty expectations.
Oh, don't worry about that. Just wallow down here with me. It's fine. Anyway, so who hosts Retrospect with you? I forget. I apologize.
Oh, man. You're going to get heat for that. Now, it's my buddy, Mr. Joseph McGee. He is a longtime pro wrestling fan based in what I call God's Country there in Charlotte, North Carolina. And every couple weeks, we do a podcast, as you aptly put, WCW Retrospect, where we're just a couple of old WCW fans who want to relive all the good, the bad, and the ugly of everything that is and was WCW, and we're having a lot of fun doing it.
You know, I was always a Crockett guy growing up, so therefore I kind of became a WCW guy, and I always rooted for WCW. And for my money, I loved wrestling from, you know, when Nitro went on the air, particularly, you know, 96, even a little bit before the NWO, things were really cooking. And then, you know, maybe till the end, you know, 98-ish, you know, maybe till, you know, the Georgia Dome show. But I mean, it kind of frustrates me that whenever people talk about WCW, it's like they always just bring up the 99, 2000, 2001 and Vince Russo stuff. And I'm like, when wrestling was really at its best is when WCW was on fire. And to me, I would take WCW on fire even more than the Attitude Era, because it had such a great variety of wrestling. You know, you had the cruiserweights who were exciting. You had, you know, interesting main events. You had some compelling storylines. And nothing was terribly stupid. That stupid Vince McMahon humor, you didn't have a lot of that. So I really liked kind of those key years of WCW. Those were kind of my sweet spot for wrestling.
Absolutely. I think that 1997, the year overall, specifically to WCW and, of course, with the World Wrestling Federation. But to me, 1997 was the year that I think the business really hit its peak, because if you look specifically at WCW, you've got the rise of Diamond Dallas Page into the main event level. You've got the transformation of Sting going from the bleach blonde surfer style Sting to the more dark and brooding and Crow Sting character that it's been dubbed, you know, for the last 20 years. And of course, in 1997, Hollywood Hogan transformed his character and himself in the summer of 1996, turning heel, joining the New World Order. And so for me, 1997 specifically, especially with WCW, they were just on fire.
Yeah, I agree. And also, I think to a lot of people, that was the apex of pro wrestling video games.
Yeah, you look back, and it's interesting when you look at the video games, and obviously 20 years into the future where we're at today, the technology is just, it's incredible with the advances. But, you know, for me, for my money, Jim, and I think you're kind of in the same boat, you know, give me the 8-bit, the 16-bit games, whether it's Nintendo, Super Nintendo, Sega Genesis, and even into the 64-bit era with the Nintendo 64, I will sit down and spend more time playing those systems and those games than I will the stuff that's currently out on the market today.
I don't know about NES games. I mean, with the exception of pro wrestling and the WCW game, they're pretty terrible.
Yeah, those games specifically, yes. But the overall, just nostalgia, it is what it is. And I think that there's a lot of people, you know, in my age group and your age group, you're not that much older than me, but you are older than me. But I think for folks of our age, and maybe you, your advanced age, they would tend to want to relive their youth and relive their childhood. And for me, those WCW games, specifically when you're talking about the mid-90s, I was a PlayStation kid. So you got WCW versus the World, Nitro, Thunder, Mayhem. We won't even talk about Backstage Assault because it is probably the worst video game ever created. But the others that I mentioned were ones that that I will still sit and play and have the luxury of having those still in my collection so that my son, who's a teenager himself now, he loves to sit down and fire up the PlayStation and play those with Dad.
Does he have a favorite game?
He does. He's a Mayhem guy. And At that age, I was more of a Nitro guy, but he enjoys Mayhem and, of course, you know, gets online and gets all the cheat codes. So instead of having to go through and actually beat the game, just puts in the unlock codes. And so he's got the entire roster at his expense there. And he enjoys mixing up as either Hollywood Hogan or Sting. And he's pretty good at the game.
So, David, I'm conflicted right now. Clearly, your son playing N64, that era, the wrestling video games, or the PlayStation video games, whatever it was, that's good. But the fact that he's playing Mayhem, I'm conflicted, David. I'm conflicted. Mayhem was okay. It was okay. It kind of signals in my mind kind of the downward slide. Was that the one that was made? Was that the EA one? Which one was was EA Thunder? Is that the one that was EA?
When did no, EA Mayhem was over? The first EA sports game that WWE
yeah,
had.
It looks good. It's a good looking game. Mm-hmm. Everyone looks very stiff, but they look beautiful. They're very well rendered. They just kind of all look right. Like they have a board for a spine. It's okay. It was okay. For my money, and I think I just tweeted out a picture of it. For my money, the best wrestling video game, and the best one in that era as well, is one that no one ever talks about. And I found it. This came out in 1998, and I bought it on eBay, brand new, for like $98 back in 98. Jeez, this game's almost 20 years old. Oh my gosh, it just hit me. New Japan Pro Wrestling 2 for the Nintendo 64. And this thing is incredible. It's got Hashimoto, it's got Muto, it's got everybody from that era. It's got Liger, it's got Inoki, it's got Dr. Wagner Jr. in it. It's incredible the number of wrestlers on the roster, but it uses a control system that I've never seen any other game use. So you know the way the Nintendo 64, it's got the three-prong handle, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you grab and you hold the prong, the handle in the middle. So you got a trigger button and you have your thumb on that analog joystick, and it lets you do this freedom movement around the ring. And then it has a progressive holding and striking system. So in the beginning, you're using weaker holds automatically. And as you inflict more damage, then almost sort of like a more advanced version of WrestleFest, the moves get more violent, get stronger as the game goes on. And this thing has moves like you wouldn't believe, you know, stuff we haven't seen until just recent generations. And it also has a bunch of different arenas. So it has Korakuen Hall, and it has the Tokyo Dome, and it's got a gymnasium to go into. It's the coolest game. And so I encourage everyone to go out and try it one. It's I think it's called it's New Japan Pro Wrestling 2, but it's called, like, what is it, Tetsu Dudan Road or something like that, whatever that phrase is. It's awesome, and I love it. Wrestling video games. So which one was your first one? Which one got you hooked?
Well, being a child of the 80s, the first pro wrestling game that I was exposed to was on the NES, and it was just a classic pro wrestling game. And I still have it in my collection. You know, I still play it. My son still plays it. And, you know, obviously for 1980s technology compared to today, it's very bare bones. But at the time, it was cool to be a kid, to have this new gaming system and be able to have a wrestling game. And of course, it's got the made up characters and the different moveset. And what I never understood, Jim, and this will show you from where I grew up in the country. So I'm in the Midwest. We are a WWF territory. So when you're playing the game, if you go on the outside, you don't have a 10 count, you have a 20 count. And, you know, me as a 6-year-old kid playing this pro wrestling game, like, wait, no, I'm supposed to have a 10 count. Why do I have 10 extra seconds? This doesn't make any sense. There must be something wrong with this game.
That's good. That's funny. See, I grew up in Portland, watching Portland wrestling, and we had a 20 count. So every time I saw the WWF, I was like, well, they should have a 20 count. 10 is a ripoff.
But no, yeah, so back to your question. Yeah, I mean, yeah. For me, pro wrestling was the first game. I wouldn't say it was my favorite game. But it was definitely the game that got me into pro wrestling video games.
You know, it didn't have, like you said, the most moves, but it had some really nice touches. Like when the Amazon bit some guy's head, mm-hmm. when it had the, was it King Slender that did the claw hold?
Yeah. No, it was the other guy. Panther something, maybe? I don't remember.
Oh, Giant Panther or something like that?
Yeah.
I don't have
I
it in front
of
me.
Claw. Yeah,
maybe he did the claw. King Slender did the backbreaker.
Yes. Yeah, because you had Starman that would do you'd lock up and do the standing flip upside down drop kick, and the crowd would go wild literally every time he did it. I mean, come on, it doesn't get better than that, Jim.
Now, you know, and also the cool part is you could pile drive on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
So I mean, those are some nice touches. Like I said, it wasn't the deepest. But those are some nice touches. The hardest part was doing the Insigiri by Hayabusa. That was a hard move to execute, as I recall.
Yeah, absolutely, it was. So to your point, while it didn't have, you know, the deepest moveset, there still was a lot of challenge in the game. And, you know, I remember being a youngster and playing, and, you know, it took me forever and ever to beat. I think it was King Slender, because he'd hit that backbreaker, and I couldn't hit those button combos fast enough to kick out.
It was a great game. And yeah, that was a launch title for the NES. So that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead. I was moving on, but go ahead. Tell me more about pro wrestling for the NES.
No, that's what I was going to say. So as we're moving on, so the first, you know, wrestling game for the NES that I was actually able to purchase was the WWF's first NES title, which was WrestleMania. And you talk about a difference of gameplay and the presentation and everything like that. For me, pro wrestling was technically a better video game, in the sense of, you know, you had certainly more moves and things like that. But of course, me growing up where I did and being such a huge WWF fan and being such a Hulkamaniac, I could not wait to get my hands on the WrestleMania game for the NES.
I sadly, for some stupid reason, I guess I was so into wrestling, I bought that game too. But really, it's not a pro wrestling game. It's more of like a timing game, and you're not really doing many moves at all. You're sort of wandering around the ring and kind of striking from time to time. It's terrible. It's an awful game, and I guess when you're a kid, man, you're just blind to stuff like that, or you just so passionate about something, you ignore what is obvious that game was awful.
Yeah, it's a pretty terrible game. And like I said, I'd mentioned my son earlier, my son Owen, he played it for the first time and he's playing it and he's looking at me and he doesn't want to tell me it's terrible because, you know, he's a very nostalgic kid and he knows that it's from my childhood. And I was like, hey, you know, what do you think, buddy? And he goes, Dad, I'm not going to lie. This game sucks.
It does suck. Well, look, Dave, I'm going to take a break real quick. We'll come back. We'll talk some more video games, including one that you guys missed on your podcast on WCW Retrospect, talking about the World Championship Wrestling game for the NES, which is one of my personal favorites. We'll talk about that and more. Plus, we'll hit the arcades before we're done here on Wrestling Road Stories with Jim Valley on the PW Torch Livecast.
Don't just listen to PW Torch's brand of wrestling coverage. Read it, too, every day at pwtorch.com. Join me Monday nights for my live coverage of Raw, Tuesday nights for my live coverage of SmackDown, Sunday nights for my live coverage of WWE pay-per-views, and keep up on the news and read exclusive editorials and special features every day at pwtorch.com.
Wrestling Road Stories every Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast, Jim Valley. You can find it at pwtorchlivecast.com. But if you're listening, you've already found it. It's Jim Valley, and we are here with David Anderson from the WCW Retrospect podcast talking wrestling video games. And, you know, for the NES, the WWF games, they never really quite clicked. They never really quite worked from the WrestleMania to was it called WrestleMania Challenge? Was that the next one?
WrestleMania Challenge was the next one.
And it was slightly better, but not great.
No.
It all sucked.
Yeah,
but again, I bought that one. I knew better when I bought it. Terrible.
Nobody's perfect, Jim.
That's true. You know what else I bought? I was so into wrestling video games. There was one for the computer, for like the 256 or whatever. That was a simulation game. It was like you had discs, and it was Hulk Hogan fighting either Ted DiBiase or Paul Orndorff. And it's like it was just random. You didn't. It really wasn't even a game. But I bought it.
The Micro League Wrestling?
Yes, the Micro League Wrestling. Thank you. Yeah, I bought that.
I'm very jealous because we did not have a computer back then. So, you may be the first person that I've ever talked to that actually played that game. So I'm very jealous of you.
Now the graphics, because they were sort of digitized pictures, seemed to be amazing at the time. Because you saw the box and it looked like you were going to get full motion video, you know, while you're playing this game. But it wasn't really anything. It wasn't really even a strategy game. It just kind of played out itself, and you kind of hit a button on the keyboard from time to time, and it would just toggle back between like two or three pictures for the animation. It was pretty terrible. It was terrible, as a matter of fact, because it only had a handful of moves. DiBiase would drop the fist, you know, Hogan would do the leg drop, things like that. But it really was not really anything. But yeah, I even bought Micro League Pro Wrestling. I spent a lot of money on wrestling video games. Sad, really. I did want to mention the World Championship Wrestling game. From the NES, which was one of, if not the last, I think, wrestling game for the NES. I loved that game. It was a takeoff. It was a transfer of a Japanese pro wrestling game, and so that was pretty obvious, even if you didn't know it. But all they did was, you know, take, you know, the, you know, put Ric Flair on somebody else's body or Lex Luger on somebody else's body because they had some weird choices for moves like, you know, the Antonio Inoki octopus hold and things like that. And that was pretty obvious that it was a Japanese game. But I loved that game because, one, it had the Road Warriors in it. And two, you could do Road Warrior Animals Power Slam. It had finishing maneuvers. That's what made that that's what made that game so awesome to me. I love that game.
Yeah, it was definitely a step above some of the previous release titles on the NES. And you know, one of the things that I always thought was different at the time was you would go in, you would choose your wrestler, and then you would choose from a subset of moves. And I don't remember how many different moves you could pick, but you would essentially go in and you would strategize. Cause I remember playing the game with my friends. Okay. Well, if my friend's going to be Ric Flair, I think he's going to choose this set of moves. So I'm going to be Sting and I'm going to choose these because I think these are going to be the best counter moves for what I think he's going to choose for Flair. And, you know, even as a kid, you're strategizing and you're right. The WCW game, it was a great game. But in typical WCW fashion, by the time that it was released and out to the market, the Road Warriors, who were on the cover, who were on the box and on the sticker for the game, had already left and had made their way up to the World Wrestling Federation.
Yeah, that's true. But they were in the game.
They were in the game. But in true WCW fashion...
That's true, but I love the Road Warriors. So, you know, I didn't care if it was an AWA game. They were in the game. You could do Animals Awesome Power Slam.
Yeah, well, hey, I mean, that was worth the $39.95 right there, right?
Hell yes. did you ever – I beat the game, by the way. I did beat the WC. So they – because it's a Japanese game, the actual boss in the game is Andre the Giant. But obviously in 1989-90 when the game came out, you know, Andre the Giant had been under contract to the World Wrestling Federation for quite a while. So they put this Darth Vader-looking mask on the body of Andre the Giant and called him the WCW Master. But he was still Andre the Giant. And the only guy that I could ever beat him with was Mike Rotunda. And that was because Mike Rotunda did this flying knee. And so you could get a run at the Giant and just keep hitting him with the knee like 100 times until you finally knocked him down and pinned him.
Yeah, no, you've got, again, in addition to owning a WrestleFest arcade game, you've got that over me. And at the same time, I never owned the WCW game. I either was at a friend's house playing it or rented it. So I bow to your video game greatness because I did not beat the WCW video game.
I don't beat many games. I could count the number of video games I've beaten maybe on one and a half hands, but that is definitely one. Oh, by the way, if you want to call in with your memories of video games, you can call in at 515-605-9345 or tweet us at Jim Valley. What is your Twitter, David?
At David C. Anderson, A-N-D-E-R-S-E-N.
And what's the podcast Twitter?
The handle for Facebook, Twitter, Instagram is at WCW Retrospect.
And there we go. So anyway, the WCW video game. You guys never played? You guys did talk about that one. Yeah, you guys. Which one did you guys talk about that you hadn't played? Maybe it was one of the N64 ones, but you know.
Yeah, we had a pretty lengthy discussion about Revenge because me being a PlayStation guy, my tag team partner Joseph, he was an N64 guy, so I never got to experience the greatness that was WCW NWO Revenge.
See, in my mind, for my money, WCW NWO Revenge, I like that. There's something I like about it. Maybe it's because I was more of a WCW guy. Maybe because it seems like the when No Mercy came out and WrestleMania, especially No Mercy, it seems like they sped up the play a little bit too much for me for my enjoyment. I can still play it, don't get me wrong, but it just seemed less like a wrestling game and more like a fighting game because the pace is a little fast on WCW No Mercy. I mean, I still could play it. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. I just think I enjoyed the pacing better of WCW and WCW Revenge. That was all.
Yeah, no, and since we recorded that show, I actually came across an N64 and was able to procure a copy of WCW NWO Revenge, and I will have to agree, as much as I don't want to admit it to the world, that Joseph McGee was right, that yes, WCW NWO Revenge is a very fine video game.
Yeah, no, there's no shame in that. There's no shame. We're all video game nerds here. It's all good. I was a Nintendo guy, as we mentioned. I don't want to spend too much time on it. WWF WrestleMania, again, that was a launch title for the Super NES, and that was okay. I mean, it looked good, but all the wrestlers played exactly the same, and all there was one-on-one and tag team matches, and it just was not deep at all as far as an experience. You were bored with it by about 15 minutes. It wasn't good.
No, it wasn't, and I'm glad I waited and saved my money and ended up purchasing the Royal Rumble game for Super Nintendo and had a lot of the same graphics, the same engine, things like that, just with more of an updated roster. And I remember beating the game about 20 minutes after getting it. So I can definitively say, Jim, that the Royal Rumble for Super Nintendo is the second wrestling game that I ever beat, and unfortunately – I beat it about 20 minutes after I got it.
You know, I understand what you're saying. I'm not disagreeing with you, but there's something about that game, maybe because it was kind of the first one in my mind to put together graphics and gameplay to the best at that point, up to that point, that I don't know. I even like Royal Rumble on the NES, Super NES, better than I like the WWF Raw on the Super NES, even though they're basically the same game with some updates and a few changes. I like Royal Rumble better, and I really can't explain why. Maybe it's the Raw. You know what it might be? It might be the roster, because Crush, terrible wrestling character. Ridiculous finish in the world of pro wrestling on television, but in the video game, it's fun to squish somebody's head.
Oh, absolutely. And I guess I'll take a different perspective. I actually enjoyed when WWF released Raw on the Super NES because, yeah, the gameplay was the same and it was an updated roster, but they added a few little subtleties in. So they added the chair. So you could go out and you could grab the chair and you could hit the guy with the chair. And they added a couple different little things to it that, for me, I enjoyed the game more. Again, I loved Royal Rumble, don't get me wrong, but if I had to sit down right now and say, okay, are you going to play Royal Rumble? Are you going to play Raw? I'm going to pick Raw.
I like them both. Don't get me wrong. I like them both, but there's just something about, I think it's just a totally emotional, sentimental reason why I like Royal Rumble better. I can't, you know what part of the reason might be is because they put Luna Vachon in there. And I was like, I like Luna Vachon as a character and I respect her as a wrestler, but I didn't want to beat up a woman in a wrestling video game. And I think I didn't like that. That might be,
no,
I don't know.
I totally understand where you're coming from, but hey, who doesn't want to play as Doink the Clown?
I do agree on Doink the Clown. Doink the Clown was a fun video game character.
Yeah.
All right, man, but let me take one more break, and we'll talk about some more recent systems and stuff. But we're talking wrestling video games here with David Anderson from the WCW Retrospect Podcast, and we'll talk some more wrestling video games that we both know and love coming up next here on Wrestling Road Stories.
Support what we do here at the PW Torch Livecast when you shop Amazon. Simply go to pwtorch.com/Amazon. We've simplified the page. There's a big Amazon logo. You click on it. It takes you right to Amazon's homepage. But because of that small detour, we get credit for your visit, and we get a commission on anything you buy on that shopping trip. That's pwtorch.com/Amazon. Thank you very much for your support.
So before we move on to more modern systems here with David Anderson, a WCW retrospect here on the live cast, what do you think it is about No Mercy in those Nintendo 64 games that people still love today? What is it?
That's a great question. And again, being a PlayStation guy, I didn't experience them when they first came out. I experienced them probably 5 to 10 years later. Because again, in the height of the PlayStation and 64 wars, I was a PSX guy. So I have No Mercy. I have WrestleMania 2000. And I agree with you with your earlier statement. The gameplay, it seems too fast. What I would equate those, Jim, those would be the Ring of Honor of wrestling video games, where everything happens really fast and you get to the end and you're not really sure what all you just saw, but you think it was pretty cool.
That's hilarious. That's a good point. Speaking of the PlayStation, so as I mentioned, I was a Nintendo guy, but the first 3D pro wrestling game that I saw in my hometown where I was living, at the town where I was living at the time, was the Power Move Pro Wrestling. Which where they took virtual pro wrestling and turned it into a game where they took all of the characters out, like Scott Norton, they turned him into King Og and other different characters. They changed the Great Muta, they changed everybody, and they just removed all the licensed characters and created their own characters. But it had that gameplay. I went to the video store, rented a PlayStation, and rented Power Move Pro Wrestling just so I could play it. That's how much money I've wasted on pro wrestling video games in my lifetime.
You are a dedicated man, Jim Valley.
Another time, I also rented the I'm pretty sure it was the PlayStation. What was it? They updated the Raw game for, and they called it Cage Match.
Rage in the Cage?
No, not Rage in the Cage. It played almost exactly like WWF Raw and WWF Royal Rumble, but it was it had like Kamala, and it had the Nasty Boys, and it had the model, and it even had audio. And I rented, I think it was that for play? Maybe it wasn't PlayStation. Maybe.
No.
It was for the Sega Genesis CD.
It was for Sega CD, yep.
I rented the Sega Genesis CD and rented the Cage Match video game. So that's.
Yeah, I played it one time. I had a friend who had a Sega CD and had that Cage game, Rage in the Cage, and it would take, I think, about 7 minutes to load the video clips that were playing. I mean, it was just, again, 1993 technology, but at the time it was, you know, the coolest thing ever.
Yeah, it was fun to play as those extra characters. I loved playing as Kamala for some reason. I don't know why, but Kamala was fun to have in a video game. I guess we have to mention real quick the Fire Pro Wrestling games. And I was really late to the show on Fire Pro Wrestling. I mean, I discovered them probably, you know, long after they had already been out for the Super NES and other things. And by the time I got them, I had already moved on to the 3D games. So had I discovered them, I would have probably really been into them, but I was already into the 3D rendered games like we talked about. And so I enjoyed Fire Pro, but had I found it earlier when I was still in the Super NES phase, I probably would have never left my house.
Yeah, I'm probably the only wrestling fan, Jim, that you'll ever talk to that plays video games that has never played that series of games. I just, for whatever reason, I was a bit of a video game snob. Well, if it's not WWF or WCW, I'm not wasting my time with this crap.
I forgot there was another one that I played that I loved, which was Natsumi Championship Wrestling for the Super NES. Did you ever play that one? I saw that one in like Target or Shopko or wherever it was. And it was like, it's a 50 pro wrestling moves, 50 moves. I was like, oh my gosh, they have 50 moves in this game. And I think it was $50. It was an expensive game. And I still bought it. And I played the hell out of that game. Oh my God, did I love Natsume Championship Wrestling back in the day. And they had it for the Wii U or the, yeah, I think it was the Wii U, virtual arcade or whatever it is, virtual system, whatever they call it. You can download it. And I played it. It's not near, it doesn't keep my attention nearly as much as it did in the mid 90s, but man, I loved me some Natsumi Championship Wrestling.
I'm making notes because I'm going to actually go and Google all of these games you're telling me about, and I have to see what all I'm dying to see what all the hype I missed was from 20 years ago.
It's a hard game to play. It really depends a lot on timing, and that it's frustrating. But you know, it's funny. I'll play like some other type of game, and if I can't pick it up and play it like in a fairly quick amount of time, then I'm going to quit. I'm going to put it away, and I'm never going to touch it again. But those wrestling games, man, those wrestling games I've determined to learn how to play. And by God, come hell or high water, I am going to get proficient at any damn wrestling game. I don't care how long it takes. Anything else, 5-10 minutes. But those wrestling games, man, I'm going to play it. So let's jump ahead. I've tried to get into the 2K games. And I'm really actually kind of excited because I really like my Nintendo Switch. And the idea of playing a console game, a full console game in a handheld system is a dream come true. But I don't know. I'm kind of contradicting my own statement I just made. I don't know. I just don't like this grappling engine that they've put together right now for the 2K series at all. I don't like it at all. I hate it.
Yeah, it can be pretty frustrating. I've had a couple of the games, and now I'm an Xbox guy. So for current systems, I have an Xbox One S, and I have the annual, I pay for the annual gold membership or whatever it is. And so every month they give you 4 video games for free. Well, I bought my Xbox One last August, and so I signed up for my account. And one of the first games they gave me with the games for gold or whatever it's called was the, I think it was 2K15. It's the one that Steve Austin was the featured guy on the cover. And so it was free. So I downloaded it and I played that, and I enjoy it because, you know, the graphics and the attention to detail and everything they put in is great. But yeah, when I'm trying to go through the career mode and it's okay, you have to hit these objectives and you have to hit this 13 sequence set of moves, and if you make one fatal mistake and you're supposed to toggle up and you toggle down, well, then you failed and you have to start all over again. I'm with you. The gameplay at times, it makes it pretty difficult for me to stay invested in it.
Yeah, I really want to get into it, but I just can't. You know, I've gone through it for the show. I kind of looked at other lists and things of other people's top games and stuff. And let me just say this. Anybody who lists one of their top video games as being Saturday Night Slam Masters, that list is crap. Saturday Night Slam Masters is not a wrestling game. It is a Street Fighter game masquerading as with wrestling graphics. Same thing for WrestleMania, the arcade game. The one that is Mortal Kombat with WWF skin on it. Those are not wrestling games. So any list that has those two games on it as one of the best games for wrestling, that person does not know what they're talking about. I just want to make that perfectly clear. There is no in-between. They may be fine games. You may enjoy playing them. They are not wrestling games. They're not. They're fighting games with a wrestling theme, not wrestling games, period.
Couldn't agree with you more. I don't think I've been more disappointed in a wrestling game in my entire life than getting WrestleMania the arcade game for Christmas in 1995 and finding out that it basically is a wrestling version of Mortal Kombat. And I remember playing it and yelling at the TV, if I wanted to play Mortal Kombat, I would have asked for Mortal Kombat for Christmas.
So I'm looking at I just happened to bring up a list online here from something called Den of Geek. They list their top 20 best wrestling video games. Number 18 is WWF Attitude. Who would put that on a list? That game sucked. Those Acclaim games were garbage, and that's why WWF dropped Acclaim and picked up THQ about as quickly as they could. WWF Attitude? That game was garbage.
Yeah, but it sold a lot of units, my friend.
Well, it sold a lot of units because WWF was hot. But, I mean, I had that game. It was okay. It was not a great game. It's okay. You know, I had a GameCube. I was really into Nintendo. I even stuck with the GameCube. The Day of Reckoning series is pretty good. I like that series.
Yeah, I had a chance to play a couple of those, and yeah, definitely a different take on wrestling with the GameCube and Nintendo at the time. I think they were trying to find their way. It's like, well, we've been a cartridge console, but now we're gonna jump into the fray with everybody else, and we're gonna switch to discs. And yeah, that we know how that all worked out for Nintendo.
You know, talking about games that are sort of, you know, not exactly faithful to pro wrestling. The WWE All-Stars that came out a few years ago, I didn't really like it for a console because I like my console games to have some depth and it's just kind of an arcade beat-em-up. But I have it on my 3DS, and I love it for my 3DS. It's perfect for 3DS. It's a fun little brawling game. I think it barely qualifies as a wrestling game, but it's still kind of fun in a cartoony kind of way. Do you ever play All-Stars?
I did, and you're absolutely right. It's in the vein of NFL Blitz and NBA Jam. It is. It's a smash 'em up. It's an arcade game. Absolutely, that's the best way I can describe it. And it's an arcade game that happens to have a roster of some current guys at the time, mixing some legends, and it's fun for what it is.
I remember the first time, I mean, when I was a kid in the After magazines, I think it was Wrestling 83, that quarterly that they had. I'm pretty sure that's where it was. But they had an article on the first ever pro wrestling arcade game, Tag Team Wrestling. And I was like, oh my God, that looks so awesome. And they were saying how it was just, you know, taking Japan by storm. And then I went to my local arcade, and I lived in a pretty small town. I went to my local arcade and it was there. Oh my God, I must have ridden my bike out to that arcade, you know, every weekend just to play Tag Team Wrestling. I still have it on one of my emulator video game arcade systems that I have downstairs. And, you know, again, it's, you know, it is what it is. I mean, it's really more of a reflex game and trying to hit buttons fast enough to go through the list of moves you have. But I remember just freaking out about how great it was at the time, but I don't think it really holds up. It doesn't hold up anymore.
No. And you're talking about wrestling arcade games. You know, for me, again, very jealous that you have a WrestleFest machine. But for me, the first wrestling arcade game that I really had exposure to and got hooked on was the WWF Superstars game. It was in the local gas station, kind of like you. I grew up in a small town. And it was there, and I remember pumping quarters into that thing like there was no tomorrow. And, you know, sadly, as an adult, I have not found a way to procure a machine of my own, but it is on the bucket list. And so one day I hope to have that fine piece of machinery in my home.
Yeah, I've got an Ultracade machine that has all the games on it, and I load it. I do have Superstars loaded on there, so I don't have a standalone, but I do have it. And then I also have a standalone. It's a combination machine that somebody made, but it's got both cards in it, so it can play both Matt Mania and also Mania Challenge, which is the two-player version of Matt Mania, basically. It's got a few other differences. But, yeah, when I was – I found Mania Challenge in my arcade when I was in college. So it was already pretty old because Matt Mania came out in, like, 85. But, oh, man, I, again, drove out to that arcade and played that for hours all of the time. And now I have one. And I don't play it that much anymore. I probably need to find a way to get rid of it. But I bought it, geez, over 10 years ago now. And I bought it and I had it shipped from Charlotte, North Carolina, and I spent more money to ship it than I spent on the game itself.
Wow.
I've wasted a lot of money on wrestling video games, David. I've wasted a lot of money on wrestling video games. Well, if there's a theme to this show, it's that I've wasted a lot of money on wrestling video games.
But we all have our vices, man. You know, some worse than others. Yours just happens to be wrestling video games.
It's sad. But no, I do love, I do, I've got the four-person WrestleFest, but you need, some people have like the two-person. I'm like, no, no, you play four-person or you play nothing.
Yeah, it's like the Royal Rumble machine that came out that had the one monitor. It's like, no. If you're going to do this, you go big or go home. You get the dual monitor, you get the, you go big or go home.
You know, I mentioned that my favorite game is the New Japan Pro Wrestling 2 for the Nintendo 64, which I like quite a bit. I think it, you know, graphically, like a lot of the N64 games, it looks a little blocky and clunky right now. But I think as far as gameplay goes, I think it's my favorite still, my favorite home console video game. So what is your favorite wrestling video game?
That's tough. You know, I was thinking you were going to ask that. And so when I was thinking back to the conversation we had about some of the console video games, and I basically just tried to break it down to, okay, think back to your childhood. Which game did you spend the most hours on? And for me, I'm probably going to have to say WCW versus the World for PlayStation. Number one, I spent the most amount of time playing that game. And number two, it created or it provided the opportunity because it had all of the WCW guys, but then they had some of the unlockable characters. They mixed in some of the New Japan guys and guys that they may or may not have had license agreements with, but they still stuck them in the game. And so for me, for the amount of sheer time and effort that I spent on one single video game, I'd have to say WCW versus the World.
You know, I was so jealous for those year or whatever it was between WCW versus the World and WCW NWO coming out for the Nintendo 64. I almost bought a PlayStation just based on getting that game, but I held out. And I was pretty happy with the WCW versus NWO game. But yeah, I almost broke down because you guys had the 3D rendered wrestling video games first, you know, probably at least a year and a half, maybe even more, with Power Move Pro Wrestling. For you guys beat the N64 to the punch before it finally caught up and, you know, really kind of caught its stride.
Absolutely.
All right, man. Well, where can people find you on the Twitter machine?
They can find me. You can follow me on Twitter at David C. Anderson. You can make sure you're following WCW Retrospect at, wait for it, WCW Retrospect. Again, it's a fun podcast that Joseph and McGee and myself, we do bi-weekly. We sometimes do post or pay-per-view recap shows. We talk about superstar profiles. The show that we just did this week was about the merchandise of WCW. And boy, I tell you what, that was a fun trip down memory lane, going back and looking at just some of the horrific items that WCW was licensing in the mid to late 1990s. So it's a fun trip down memory lane. We're actually going to be at WrestleCade in 30 days from now, 1 month from now, on Saturday, November 25th. We're going to be there, and we are bringing Medusa, a.k.a. Alunder Blaze, WWE Hall of Famer. She will be our guest with us at WrestleCade, and you can get all the information for that at WrestleCade.com.
You know, Medusa is very good friends with Fumi Saito, the guy that I do the Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling podcast with. They were very close because Fumi was in Minnesota for a very long time, and I think they went to the same school, not together, but they met in Japan for the first time when she was over there. But they have been friends for a very, very long time. So she knows Fumi really well.
Yeah, that's awesome. We're very excited about bringing Medusa to WrestleCade because she doesn't do a lot of appearances. So Joseph and myself, we're very fortunate. We're very, very honored that she agreed to take the booking. And she's very excited about making her way to Winston-Salem Thanksgiving weekend, as are we.
Well, that's exciting, man. So be sure to follow me. It is a good podcast, and they cover some great topics like the wrestling video games. And it really sort of encaptures, in my mind, you know, what it was like to live through these things. And they do a really nice job. And it's an easy listen. It's a fun listen. So add it to your podcast if you can, WCW Retrospect. But don't add it before you add Pacific Rim Pro Wrestling with Fumi Saito and myself. Or Cauliflower Alley Radio. Then add WCW Retrospect whenever you want. I'm just kidding. That's a joke, David. These are the jokes.
You're building a media empire. I mean, this is what, the 17th podcast you're doing this week?
It's freaking ridiculous. Seriously, I need a word called no, but oh well, it's fine. I got to figure out, because I do Pat McNeil. You know, we do the Wayback Playback still. Yeah, I do this one. Then I got the Pacific Rim, and then we'll do the Cauliflower Alley one. So yeah, I'm doing a lot of podcasts these days, but the Cauliflower Alley is only going to be like once a month. And you know, it's a great cause. It's a great organization. So I'm really honored to be able to do that.
Yeah, I can't wait to check that out. That's going to be a great listen.
You know, you should go into WrestleCade. You should work it out to come to Cauliflower Alley in Vegas one year. It's pretty fun. The hotel's not that expensive, so it's not that bad.
No, it's on my bucket list. I was going to try to get out there this year and then ended up going to WrestleMania, so that kind of took precedence. I'm not going to WrestleMania next year, so I may have to take you up on that.
All right, man. Well, look, I appreciate this. This is a fun conversation. I love to talk me some wrestling video games, and I think you were a great person to talk about it with, because we each kind of had similar yet different enough experiences.
I really appreciate it, Jim. Like I told you, I was very honored and humbled that you would ask me to be on the show, and I had a great time as well. And thank you so much for the opportunity, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right, man. There's David Anderson. Thanks so much. And thank you for listening. Next week, we're going to talk to Brian Blair from the Cauliflower Alley Club and B. Brian Blair of the Killer Bees and Florida wrestling fame. We'll talk to him, and we will see you back next Wednesday here on the PW Torch Livecast with Wrestling Road Stories with me, Jim Valley.
PW Torch Livecast listeners, I invite you to get even more of what the Torch offers by becoming a PW Torch VIP member. Not only do you get ad-free access to our website, the mobile site, and the desktop site, and access to about 30 years of our archives, including over 1,500 back issues and thousands upon thousands of hours of our audio shows going back to 2004, plus tons of retro radio shows from the 1990s. But you also get over 15 VIP exclusive podcasts per week, in addition to ad-free editions of these PW Torch livecasts throughout the week. So we take the ads out of the PW Torch livecast for VIP members and then give you over 15 other podcasts per week, including what started it all, the Bruce Mitchell Audio Show. I host that with Bruce every weekend, and we spend a couple hours talking about the biggest stories of professional wrestling and wrestling history. It's one of the longest-running weekly pro wrestling podcasts on any subject, and it's one of the main reasons people go VIP and stay VIP. Another is The Fix with Todd Martin. I host that every midweek with Todd, and we get Todd's expertise and opinions every midweek on current events in professional wrestling, not just WWE, but all promotions worldwide, including New Japan. Plus, we end every show with some expert MMA talk from the LA Times columnist and SureDog contributor, Todd Martin. And there's so much more. The Every Single Day Weight Killer Hotline with news updates every single day, Monday through Friday. And every Saturday and Sunday, I do the SE Editor format of the Weight Killer Hotline, where I answer VIP member questions in depth. And there's so much more. There's the Wayback Playback with Pat McNeil and Jim Valley, Wrestling Audio Community with Sean Radican, the WWE Future Pass Show with scouting reports on prospects and a look back at the indie career of current stars, the PW Torch East Coast Cast Extended VIP Edition, the retro radio shows. Every Thursday, a new retro radio show from the 90s drops, from the early 90s or the Attitude Era. And last but not least, my in-depth Raw and SmackDown reports. You can get a full chronological rundown of every episode of Raw and SmackDown with my analysis of the show in-depth every Monday night and Tuesday night. So check out details at pwtorch.com/govip. We give you a lot here at the livecast, but there is so much more. The vast majority of our work is for our VIP members, and you can become one today. Go check out details on a subscription at pwtorch.com/govip.